This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Antoine Kanamugiri, a Canadian medical doctor specializing in psychiatry that discusses the unknown dangers of recreational marijuana. Dr. Kanamugiri, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Glad to be with you, sir.
You bet, and good to have you with us. Looking forward to hearing from you on today's topic. So tell us, for starters, how does marijuana work in the brain, for starters, and what are the side effects and long-term results of mental health issues, including depression, anxiety, and suicide, to kick things off today?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So the cannabis is a psychoactive drug. When we talk about recreational cannabis, I think it's important to point out that there are about 100 cannabinoids in the cannabis. And the two most commonly known cannabinoids are THC, or tetrahydrocannabinol, and this is the chemical compound responsible for getting you high, as well as causing other psychotropic effects. And there is another one called cannabidiol, or CBD, which is not psychoactive, and this is not, it has nothing to do with recreational marijuana, because CBD does not get you high. So this is not what people are taking when they use recreational marijuana. So we are talking about THC here. And in every human brain has what we call endocannabinoid system. So this is a cannabis-like system already established in your brain, and it plays a major role in especially in a teenager's brain or a young adult's brain, especially those developing brain. The endocannabinoid system helps regulate other chemicals or other neurotransmitters in the brain. So when a teenager or a young adult takes outside cannabis, okay, and we're talking about THC here, you might start interfering with the already well-established endocannabinoid system, which might interfere with the other chemicals in your brain, and this might result in interference with the development of the brain. So it's important to know that cannabis might interfere with the developing brain. That's why in my book I really insist on the age factor. So if you are under 25, for example, the brain develops from the back to the front, and the brain is going to be developing until about the age of 25. And for some people, it can even go on until the age of 30. So when you take cannabis, when you're under 25, the risk of cannabis interfering with your developing brain is higher. Especially, it might interfere with the frontal parts of your brain, which develop later in life. For example, what we call prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex is the part of your brain that is involved in concentration, in focus, in judgment, planification. So when you interfere with this part of your brain, you can have lasting consequences. So it's very important to be careful about when you start taking cannabis. And I strongly advise teenagers and even those under 25 years old to wait, to literally stay away, at least for now, and to get, to let their beautiful brain continue to develop without interference.
Certainly most helpful information in all regards. Really appreciate your input there. Now, also, what does society need to know about the impacts of marijuana in children and young adults, and how do you discuss these issues with them?
Yeah, and one of the things that I realized when I was working on this book, I realized that there are a lot of myths around recreational marijuana. I meet a lot of people, especially in my work. I work in the ER. I work in outpatient clinics. I'm a consultant for health, for first line teams, and I realized that a lot of people, especially young people, think cannabis is completely harmless. And some people think it doesn't carry any side effects. While we need to acknowledge that cannabis is not the most dangerous drug out there, but it carries its own risk. For example, just as I mentioned, the interference with the developing brain is one of the things we need to take into consideration. But also, people do not know that cannabis can be addictive. They strongly argue that cannabis has no addictive properties, while we know in research and scientific studies that about 10% of cannabis users will slide into addiction. And when we talk about teenagers and young adults, the risk of addiction almost doubles. It goes up to about 17%. This is one teenager out of six who will slide into addiction. So this is a very, very important point, because the younger you are, if you're still a teenager, the risk of getting addicted to cannabis is higher because of your developing brain. The stage of development of your brain. So we need to really talk to our young people, especially teenagers, that using cannabis is not a great idea in those at that age. And another point, depression, for example. There are a lot of scientific studies that show that teenagers who use cannabis are 2 to 4 times more likely to experience depressive symptoms during their teenage years or later in life. And we're talking here about like teenagers who heavily or regularly use cannabis. So this is a very important point. Again, that shows that at a younger age, it's not safe at all. Another point is about, for example, psychosis. Psychosis in the general population is about 3%. That's for all causes, considering all causes of psychosis. But for cannabis users, for heavy cannabis users, this risk might increase up to 15% or more. So this is another point that needs to be considered. And the younger you are, again, the more, the riskier it is to use cannabis. And the increased risk of psychosis is enormous. So we need to advise our young people that they need to wait, or they need to stay away, at least for now. And for example, for those who heavily use cannabis, cannabis actually, we need to say that people use it because, you know, it gets you high, it might relax you, it might help you sleep, it might help you feel less anxious. But when you start using it heavily, it can stimulate, for example, the amygdala, which is a part of your brain that is involved in the regulation of emotions and impulsiveness. So when you take enormous big quantities of cannabis, the high doses of cannabis might increase actually fear, anxiety, and even panic. So you can see somebody who has anxiety problems, panic attacks, aggressiveness, and depressed mood. So it's important to note that we need to advise our people, especially our young people, that cannabis is not completely harmless. It's not the most dangerous drug again, but it carries its own risk.
Now, we know there are risk factors. What are the risk factors of falling into addiction of marijuana and other drugs?
Yes. So the risk factors of getting into addiction of any drug are very, very important to take into consideration before anyone starts using marijuana. For example, there are biological risk factors. This is a genetic predisposition, for example. The medical conditions. If somebody is having, for example, chronic pain problems, the risk of getting addicted to a substance that reduces pain is increased. If somebody is depressed or is going through a period of time that is very challenging, so taking the substance that soothes that pain might increase the risk of getting addicted. If somebody has been a victim of physical abuse, sexual abuse, psychological abuse, bullying in school, these are all the things that might increase the risk of getting addicted to a substance. Of course, if you have ADHD, you may want to stay away from the addictive substance, because the risk of addiction is higher for people who are suffering from ADHD or other psychiatric conditions. If you're going into a period of separation, divorce, relationship breakup, economic stress, experiencing stressful life events like a new job, relationship, a new relationship, these are all the things that might increase the risk of getting addicted to a substance. Especially, of course, the availability of drugs and peer pressure is one of the other factors that we need to take into consideration when we discuss the biological, psychosocial, environmental risk factors.
Today we are speaking with Dr. Antoine Kanamugiri, a Canadian medical doctor specializing in psychiatry, that discusses the unknown dangers of recreational marijuana here on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Dr. Kanamugiri, tell us, how does marijuana affect the professional and social aspects of people's lives?
Yes. One of the things that we observe in heavy marijuana users is what we call a motivational syndrome. And this is something that might sometimes be confused with depression, but it's not. It's the lack of this, the reduced interest in the things somebody used to like, the lifestyle of drug use, associated with a shift in personal goals, a lack of ambition, purpose, neglect of priorities, the apathy. So this might lead to to professional negligence, to school failure, to school dropouts, to isolation. So there's this kind of spirit of isolation and neglecting cornerstone, neglecting priorities. For example, neglecting family priorities, professional priorities, school, homework, and the person might find themselves sliding into a social isolation and professional and economic hardships because of their motivational syndrome. And this is something we see every day in a clinic. You know, I can tell the story of this 19-year-old who was 95% in everything in high school, gets to college, first semester in the 90s, second semester, the grade dropped to about 55, 60. You know, the parents didn't understand what's going on. Take them to the hospital to rule out depression. We found out that there is no depressive problems. There is a motivational syndrome associated with cannabis use. The only change in this young man's life was the beginning of cannabis use. There was no other stressor in his life that could explain the drop in his grades. So this is something we see every day, you know, very, very often in our clinic.
Interesting. And if you would explain the difference between, assuming that there are, between medical marijuana and recreational marijuana.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I think this is a very, very important thing to point out. As a medical doctor, as a scientist, I'm very open to the discussion and to research about medical marijuana. And when we talk about medical marijuana, we're talking about a completely different subject. We're talking about a medical problem that has been diagnosed by a medical doctor or another healthcare professional that is being treated with specific doses for a specific amount of time. So it's not a recreational here. We're talking about a medical problem. So there are studies and case reports that have shown that actually there are people who have benefited from medical marijuana. There are people with epilepsy, for example, chronic pain, that have benefited from medical marijuana. It can also, it has also been used to increase appetite and reduce nausea for chemotherapy patients. So research is ongoing, you know, to find how we can use the medical marijuana, and mostly in the medical marijuana there is less THC or none. So the THC, again, which is the psychoactive cannabinoid, which is used in recreational cannabis, is generally not the main ingredient in the medical marijuana. So it's a completely different subject when we're talking about medical versus recreational marijuana. And I think we need to emphasize that, because people who are encouraging our young people to take recreational marijuana, sometimes they use medical marijuana arguments, which is completely different. So we're not talking about the same thing here. There is less THC. There's mainly CBD, which is cannabidiol. And this is not going to cause psychosis. The CBD does not result in addiction, because it doesn't get you high at all. So it's not the same thing as recreational marijuana.
Well, certainly has been good to have had you on the program to discuss these issues, and a popular topic, especially with some of the legalization of marijuana use. within the U.S., and obviously the young folk, the teens, are a little far out there with some of their thoughts on this, but appreciate your input from your professional perspective. Where can listeners be in touch with you, get further details, and be in contact as well?
Yeah, and if I can add one sentence, I wrote this book out of love, out of care, and, you know, out of a desire to share with my fellow human beings about the potential risk of recreational cannabis use. It's not judgmental at all. It's really just with the purpose to share with my fellow men and women about the potential risk, especially with our young people. So it's a book for teenagers that is written in very simple terms that you can read in one sitting. A parent will understand it quickly. A professor can use it to answer questions from the student. A teenager can use it. A healthcare professional can use it. So anyone can read it fast and understand it quickly, and mostly in one sitting.
Yeah, appreciate your fitting in that bonus information. Where can listeners pick up the book and be in touch?
Yeah, actually, you can get the book from Amazon. You can check in your local bookstore if the book is available there, and Barnes & Noble. So these are the book is available in different way. It's available in English, French, and it's going to be available in Chinese in about 2 weeks. So,
well, Dr. Kendall McGarry, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. All the best, and thanks for your time today.
It's been a great pleasure, sir.
And the pleasure's certainly been ours as well. We've been speaking with Dr. Antoine Kendall McGarry, a Canadian medical doctor specializing in psychiatry, that discusses the unknown dangers of recreational marijuana. And for further details, simply visit drantoine.org. All links will be included within the show notes of this broadcast. And again, this is Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio. And we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.